This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor, Charlie Epps. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Brought to you by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. You can stream us live or check out the podcast, SBNationRadio.com. Charlie, welcome back, man.
Welcome back. It's great to be back. Christmas holidays, it's wonderful time of the year. Had a great time Puerto Vallarta, but right now, and stuff happens in every line of business. I want to apologize to our listeners for last week. We had a couple of glitches that unfortunately happened, and that's all I'm going to say. We apologize and we move forward.
Absolutely.
Right, Bill?
Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How about you?
Did you hear the opening?
I did hear the opening.
Okay. Stuff happens and it's out of our control, but we're back, and I hope you're doing well. You really look well on your pictures that you sent me. You're getting stronger.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better. Thank you, Charlie. My life is almost normal now, I would say. Very close to it. Thank you.
How you doing with the horses?
Not bad.
See, that's good.
That's
too.
A good start. Absolutely.
Well, I'm a frequent visitor.
Well, seeing that this is going to be our last show of the year because Christmas Eve is the 24th on a Saturday and New Year's Eve, so we're going to take those 2 weeks off. So we're going to look back on 2016. I mean, we have a funny season because of 2017 starts in 2016. But having said that, you know, Bill, the big controversy at the Open, Dustin Johnson, in spite of the USGA, won his first major and forced a rules change. What do you think about that?
Well, I got to give the USGA credit. They obviously went back and looked at that fiasco, which it was. You know, in all the years I've been watching golf and been involved in golf, I've never seen a tournament, any really pro tournament finish where you had no idea where the players stood because there was going to be a ruling after the event on this, you know, whether the ball moved or not or whether he caused it to move. And it really, I think, was a black eye for the USGA. They then compounded it with another weird scenario in the ladies' U.S. Open. So I give him credit for righting the wrong, changing the rule, and hopefully they'll be able to move forward. But I do think it also shed the light on how much Dustin Johnson has matured as a player. I don't think there are very few players that could have stood up under that kind of uncertainty and played as well as he played the last seven holes of that U.S. Open, given the circumstances. So, you know, it certainly thrust him onto the scene as entering into that group of Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, and Rory McIlroy as the best players in the world.
You know, we all have flashbacks, and a lot of them are negative. And think back when he's going through that at Oakmont, do you think he had any flashbacks of what happened to him at Chambers Bay? And now he says, I'm going to do this again, and what happened at Whistling Straits. Yeah. I mean, and for him to man up, you know, the best thing you can do in life is just admit your mistakes and move forward. That's like what our show happened, you know, last week. And so I think it's just, like you said, it shows a lot of maturity, and he ends up being player of the year, which you got to really be happy for. For him.
Well, you know, Butch was telling me the other day that he thinks he's the most physically gifted player in the world today. And, you know, he drives the ball so long and straight. And for our listeners out there, he uses TrackMan almost exclusively to control his yardages. So I was told that if he practices an hour and a half, 45 minutes of that hour and a half is strictly on wedges and how far they're going. And he'll hit a shot, and he'll predict how far he hit that shot. And from what I understand, he's within a yard or two every single time. Wow. And in his case, all he has is wedges into these greens as long as he hits the ball. So if he drives it straight, Charlie, and hits his wedges pretty good, he's going to be kind of one of those forces that becomes pretty hard to beat, really.
For our listeners that might not be familiar with TrackMan, TrackMan is a device that really works like a Doppler radar. It tracks the golf ball, and then it, through logarithms, tells you exactly what is happening at impact. And, you know, your dad always told us the most important thing, you know, squared impact. Yeah. Get that squared impact. And now you have the ability to test or to know how many revolutions per minute the ball is in, you know, that controls distance, controls spin. So it's a great tool, especially for those at that level. Yeah. I'm not sure it's going to help somebody at 18 handicap.
Well, you know, it helps in the fitting process,
yeah.
Though.
We're fitting?
Able to, yeah, yes, sir. You're able to see, you know, their spin, their launch yeah. angle. It's yeah. it's a great tool.
Bill, going from DJ and being Player of the Year, the LPGA has really morphed into really a world tour, and the young lady that dominated this, especially the last half of the year, it's hard to pronounce her name. Do you want to make a go at that? We've been trying, but I can't come up with the right.
I thought Scott should give that a try.
I already hit a bogey there, man. I laid up.
Go ahead.
I'm looking for it. I
Juan Tanaran?
Juan Tanaran. Very good. See?
Juan Tanaran.
Juan Tanaran. Thank you.
And Stacy Lewis, who has moved to Houston, is a Houston
Woodlands
young lady
girl.
From the Woodlands.
Yep.
She made a comment the other day. It's quite interesting. And she's been number one. She won her major, but she says she's really surprised that the girls at 20 years old, what they're doing, and that they can play 30 tournaments a year all over the world. And she's afraid that she can't do it, mainly because she got married.
Yeah.
And so her life has changed. So, you know, there's a reason why on the men's tour, why a male hasn't won a major championship, because I think it was travel.
Right.
And now they're getting, you know, Hideki Matsuyama. I think he's going to be the heir apparent to be the first major winner other than Y.E. Yang.
Yes.
Moving forward. How do you see that, Bill?
Well, I would imagine that it's easier for the men to travel because they make more money and they fly privately.
Well said.
So the women, I don't know what percentage, make enough money to fly privately. But the core of the best players on the LPGA Tour are so young, so it's hard for me to imagine them getting that tired playing golf. I think what's amazing about Juan Tanaran is she doesn't even have a driver in her bag. She drives with a 3-wood, and she's still the longest hitter, I believe, on the LPGA Tour. So if she ever got comfortable hitting a driver, it could really be a mismatch, because the times that I've spent at LPGA events, there's a huge disparity, I think, between the longer hitters and the average hitters. It's not as big on the men's tour. And so when you've got a girl that can outdrive people by 40, 50, 60 yards, you know, and she's been working with Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott, so her emotionally and mentally, she's grown leaps and bounds. You could be, maybe we could be witnessing a player like we've never seen before on the LPGA Tour from a dominant fashion. So I think it's very interesting. If this girl could learn how to hit a driver and with her enormous abilities and the way she works on her mental game, we could be looking at really some great player.
That's Bill Harmon.
Scott Atkinson.
Charlie Epps.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Welcome back to Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by and empowered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Charlie's in studio. Bill Harmon's on the line.
Change is in the air.
There it is.
You know, change can be real good, and it's very dangerous. And Bill, one of the great young ladies in golf over the last 3 years, really made some big changes. She changed her coach, changed her equipment, and on the men's tour, somebody that you're familiar with, Snedeker, who had a good year, is making changes. As a golf professional, as a teacher of great players, where do you stand with what's going on?
Well, I think it's hard to be someone's coach for a long time. I think, Charlie, you know that we get tired of delivering the same message, and the player gets more tired of hearing the same message. So I think the long-term relationships between a player and a coach are pretty rare. You know, I've been with Jay Haas since 1978. Been with his son Bill for quite a long time, but I don't really see him that much, and I don't own the rights to working with him. So we have a very open relationship. You know, the work that I did with Jay this year helped to do work with him where he won the tournament. I never saw him. We did it on our iPhone, and so I think the coaching business has changed so much. You know, Jack Grout and Jack Nicklaus were together forever, and Jack Grout was never at a PGA Tour event. Now the players can't hit a 3-foot putt without a coach and a sports psychologist and a guy to tell him how to put on his underwear, you know, watching him hit a 3-foot putt on the putting green. So the dynamics of this whole situation has changed dramatically. You know, Butch and Snedeker had two pretty successful years. He won 2 or 3 times, made the Ryder Cup team. But, you know, he wanted to hear a different message. So we'll see how that works out. My only problem with the Lydia Ko, David Ledbetter thing is I was sad to see Ledbetter personalize a little bit and bring her parents into it. And I wonder if he looks back on that and maybe that should have just stayed in-house. David's a really nice man. I've always found him to be the ultimate gentleman. There had to be a lot going on there that we didn't know, Charlie, for him to kind of publicly come out and say some of the things he said. But I kind of wish that the high road would have been taken. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he felt he had to say what he said. But I think coaches and players and caddies and stuff like that, they change all the time. I think it's more of a story when they last for 10 years than it is when they don't last for 10 years.
I liked what Yogi Berra always said. There's two type of managers, those that have been fired and those that are going to be fired. I have a personal, you know, relationship with Angel Cabreras for many, many years, and it's still going to continue. But you're right. I made the decision after the U.S. Open that you know, we've had a bad year and a half, and my message wasn't getting there, and so change is inevitable. And so I'm not surprised, and as far as what Ledbetter said after the fact, I think you get your feelings hurt as a coach, and you've helped somebody for so long. You hate to see her leave. So I think he wishes that he hadn't said that. So onward and upward. And
But as you know, the Ledbetters and the Butches and some of the bigger name coaches, they do get skewered if the player doesn't play well. They get a lot of credit if they do play well. Where you and I, Charlie, if Bill Haas hits a bad shot or Jay Haas hits a bad shot, they don't analyze the swing on TV and what I'm working with Bill or Jay. But if it's Ledbetter or Butch, you know, they analyze every swing, and, you know, I don't know why Butch is working on this or Ledbetter's working on that. So they don't really get to do their coaching in anonymity. And I think the reason is that they're a brand. They're always selling a brand. You and I aren't selling a brand. We don't have that. So we're able to do our coaching in anonymity. And if our guy plays bad, nobody's skewering us in every paper. But David and Butch, you know, they're under the spotlight all the time. They got a lot more heat on them, but they make a lot more money too.
That is for sure. That is for sure. So going back to young people playing the game and you take Lydia Ko, I just want to forewarn parents who are listening to the show about, you know, don't make your kids over-practice. Don't, you know, because those injuries happen, and you can see Lydia Ko's wrist hurting her, and golf is a violent game. I mean, any time you're swinging something at a stationary object on the ground at 100 miles an hour, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to create, I guess, you know, not arthritis, but, you know, the damage you do to your hands, wrists, and arms and elbows. Talk to somebody who has that elbow problem, you know. It's horrible. So, you know, going into next year, it's quality golf shots, not quantity. It's quality, not quantity. I think that's if I believe in practice, but Mr. Hogan used to take a half hour to hit 30 balls. You know, he would you know, get into the targets. So from our standpoint of view, that I like teaching golf on the radio. You know, practice with a purpose, and practice intelligently, and warm up correctly. Stretch yourself out. Watch those injuries that will come up on you without you knowing it. And it's hard to play golf when you're injured. So, but Bill, in the next half hour, you know, we'll look back and you know, what were the number one stories of 2016? And we'll talk a little more in depth. And I'm on Facebook, and I've been watching your dad's swing.
Wow.
1960. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it?
Wonderful. And you could see that left knee move the way, you know, and he really had the club. And I've never seen his backswing that, you know, it was unbelievable. And
where on Facebook can you see that?
Turn, is it big full turn, yeah. Long backswing. It looked good.
Man, oh, man. What size?
He wasn't in the best of shape in 1960, I don't think.
I was going to say, the portly veteran, as we love to call him, you know. He had those.
He earned that name in that video, don't you think?
Those pleated pants. And but
It was styling.
Absolutely. It was yellow and Scott and I were talking during the break and about you know, Masters champions and you know, your dad won, and Scott didn't realize that, you know, before your dad won, he was down at Seminole beating Hogan, shooting 60-61 every day.
Well, he was a club pro. He was a true club pro. It was the first tournament he played in all year, and he won by five. So
wow,
he had some talent. I remember he beat Craig one day. They were playing. Craig shot 68, Dad shot 65, and Craig said, "I don't understand it, Dad." And Dad said, "I do." And Craig says, "Well, how come?" He says, "I'm better than you."
Just sums it up. It sums it up.
And I always have been.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity. That's Bill Harmon, Charlie Epps. We're going to take a break and be back in a second on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Welcome back to Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Charlie Epps is in studio. Bill Harmon's on the line. Hey, Bill, as we reflect a little bit on 2016, I just had to ask you about this. You've talked about the player-coach relationship. I see Bubba Watson's going to go with a pink ball in the final round with Voltec. You've got Tiger Woods making a commitment to Bridgestone. What kind of reaction does that create in you when you see those type of moves which are so important to the player's, you know, ability as well as his mentality to see somebody go into a golf ball like that?
Well, in Tiger's case, I can guarantee he's not going to use a ball that he doesn't have 100% confidence in. So I think Bubba's change is a little more interesting to me because nobody works the ball and curves the ball like Bubba does. And so it'll be interesting to see if it takes him a while to get used to a new ball. I know that Tiger, he tests balls. He was quoted as saying the golf ball is the most important piece of equipment, which I thought was very interesting. But I'm more interested to see how Bubba responds because he's been massaging that Titleist ball for a long time.
Yeah.
And for a guy who curves the ball as much as he does, it'll be interesting to see if there is a period there where it's difficult for him because a lot of times when you change equipment, you know, the money they throw at you obviously is very good, and I'm sure that, you know, all of us would probably take it. But I think Charlie knows this. At the end of the day, there's only one thing that makes a pro golfer happy, and that's playing good.
Right.
And if you go out there and you start losing trust in this ball, and there's any doubt in your mind whatsoever, it doesn't take much doubt for a professional golfer, especially a good one, to become ordinary. So with me, I'll be more interested in Bubba's change than I will be Tiger's.
Well said. You know, and he's not a patient person. And so it's really interesting that he'd make this dramatic, you know, of a change. It can't just be about money. It's going to be interesting. You summed it up well.
Well, they at the Ryder Cup, and we'll talk about the Ryder Cup victory this year, they always try to pair guys that use similar balls because balls are so important.
Yeah.
Plus or minus 1 yard is really big to a great player.
Right.
I mean, they can dial it in, and that golf ball that he's chosen is a, you know, different ball.
Different ball, well said.
Different ball, and it could be the best. I personally have never tried it. So, and then Tiger, I thought that Bridgestone made Nike golf balls. I'm not sure if that's true or not, Bill, because there's some.
I think at one time they did, but I'm not sure if that's still true.
So that doesn't surprise me as much as the Bubba does. So, just look what happens in the NFL when they deflate the ball.
That's right.
It changes the game.
Yes.
So,
you know, the other thing about Bubba, though, to me, it's interesting because, and Charlie's been around him, he's not comfortable really at all in crowds. But yet everything he does is to bring attention to himself. So there's kind of a quandary there with me. You know, he's got the pink driver and all the stuff that he does. But when he gets attention, he doesn't really like it, but yet he seeks attention a lot. So I've always wondered about that. So now he's going to have the colored ball, so there's going to be more people talking about that. And you would think if he wasn't comfortable and he was not trusting of a lot of people, that he wouldn't want to keep shining the spotlight on himself and getting more attention. But it's just one of the things that goes into making Bubba Bubba, I guess. And he is a compelling figure. And my experience with him at the President's Cup in South Korea, I thought he was a nice guy. I think he's a much nicer guy than most people think he is.
Stand up, don't stand out.
There it is.
You know, there's a lot to be said about that. But the other guy that's making a little more news, Greg Norman. Greg Norman's tank. Yeah, he's going to, the business show about, the Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Or the, he's going to have his own show about people that want to do things in golf. And because of his success as a businessman, he's going to guide and choose. And it made for television, so it's another way to expose yourself. I don't know, Bill, have you heard any rumors about that?
Not really. I read something that he was doing something with Verizon, but, you know, Greg has always been a forward thinker.
Yeah.
And a very confident guy. And, I think a lot of people, we tend to forget how good he was. and what a wonderful player he was. And he was a forward thinker back then. And so he's another compelling figure in golf. He controversial and things like that. And, you know, it was pretty much his idea to have this world tour, these world championship events, and it was kind of scoffed at the start, and then the tour took it to their level, and I think it really irritated Greg. And he's been quoted as saying he's going to do things that are going to shake up golf, so it'll be interesting to see what he's got up his sleeve.
Well, I sure hope that his TV show, if he does a driver, that it's conforming when they finish.
Yeah, how about that? The Wilson driver, that was interesting, you know. I watched a little of it and creating a new driver.
Now the driver's been deemed non-conforming.
Yeah. I know. So what did you accomplish?
The USGA
it sounded
step.
Like someone got caught with their pants down. And I'd say it was Wilson.
Yes.
Kind of hard to imagine that they could do that whole thing and then
not know it. Yeah.
Give the winner to an illegal driver. So I would say there's somebody needs to answer for that.
That's funny.
People are usually running away from an answer like that, but
and it's recorded. I mean, it's not like you don't have time to research that. Yeah. That shows you they probably put that together very quickly.
The new man on the PGA Tour is not a player. It's Jay Monahan, a fresh new approach to be the PGA commissioner. What do you anticipate this young man doing, Monahan?
Well, I don't know. It seems to me like the tour is in pretty good shape. Might be one of those situations, Charlie, when we work with a great player, our job is to not screw it up. And so maybe the things that they have in place on tour are pretty solid. I'm still in the back of my mind interested to see what's going to happen with this Vijay Singh lawsuit. You know, I don't know what's going on with it, but I have the feeling that Vijay's going to have some lasting power, Charlie. You've been out on tour a lot more than me, but I think he feels like he's genuinely been wronged, and he might have some valid points that the tour over the years has kind of protected the people that they suspended, and they certainly didn't protect him. And so I'm interested going forward to see what's going to happen with that lawsuit and if eventually it gets settled out of court.
I would think that the PGA of America or the PGA Tour would rather settle it, you know, and get it behind them. And if there's some merit there, you admit wrong, you don't hide it. Look what happened to, you know, in the NFL. So I hope they get it off the table. That's for sure, because there's so many great stories that we're going to look forward to in the next few months, starting with the first major of the year, the Masters, which you, Billy, have been aware of every day of your life since you can remember, and watching your dad swing on the Facebook, but we're going to come back and we'll talk a little about the first major.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Take a break and be back in a few.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, Scott Atkinson.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. We're on SB Nation Radio. Bill Harmon's on the line, Charlie Epps in studio, wrapping up this last show for 2016.
We got a new producer.
We do.
He's
Tom.
On the ball. Tom.
He's got us going,
a
man.
A Cubby.
He's a Cubs fan.
Cubby. That's
and he's truly from Chicago, so we'll give him the benefit of that.
Correct? Welcome, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
Bill, first Masters, a first major of the year is going to be the Masters. We all really look forward to it. Many, many you know, anticipation. The last year's event was unique in that we saw the best player in the world make a triple bogey on a par three. Not the first one to do it. Won't be the last.
Correct.
So he had
quadruple bogey.
Pardon? Quadruple bogey.
It's seven.
Seven. Seven.
He bogeyed, and he also bogeyed 10 and 11.
Yep.
Learning experience.
Well, you know, you alluded at one point we're going to talk about the stories of the year, and
yes.
I would probably put Justin Johnson and the USGA's fiasco at Oakmont, but I'd put Jordan Spieth's back nine on Sunday there as the second, and I don't think there was a person in the world when they showed him walking to the 10th tee with a five-shot lead,
yeah.
the way his golf was going, that thought for 1 second that he wouldn't win that tournament. But that shows you how hard golf is. It shows you how hard it is to win. He came back and he won tournaments after that, which is great. He's a great kid. I think we won't know. The scar will only be healed when he wins another major, I believe, which I think he'll win many. But he's human. But all great players have had moments that scarred them, and the reason they're great is that they overcome them and they come back and they learn from them. And there's nothing about Jordan Spieth, to me anyway, that thinks that he's not going to learn from that. And he will win again, and I imagine he'll win the Masters again. But it's kind of unusual, Charlie, how well he plays there. You know, he's not an unusually long hitter. But there's a lot of nuances at Augusta National, and he's figured them out, and he's figured out how to play that course. I think he's had a first and 2 seconds.
That's not too bad.
Three tries.
You know,
nobody's ever done that their first three tries. So
you know, to
he's
me,
a remarkable golfer and a remarkable young man. I'm a big Jordan Spieth fan.
Likewise, but to me, the number one story was losing Arnold Palmer.
Yes, sir.
The year that Arnold Palmer passes, and his legacy will live on, and he's one that lost a U.S. Open with a 7-shot lead. So it happens to great players. Not all great players suffer that humiliation, you might say. I think it's a good word. You feel humiliated, but you learn from it. Like you said, he bounced back and won at Colonial in great fashion. They had that on the Golf Channel the other night, and you know he had 9 putts on the last 9 holes. So,
yeah.
So Arnold Palmer, the Ryder Cup has to, you know, that really was a well done event. We all watch it with great love for the game, but the final analysis of the Ryder Cup, Bill, what's your take?
You know, I think the task force worked, Charlie. I'm going to take a little bit of an unpopular view here. But I think the reason that we've had such success in the President's Cup is the President's Cup is run by the PGA Tour, who are accustomed to taking care of the players' needs. There was a real divide between the players and the PGA of America, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I applaud the new president, Paul Levy, who was actually my boss at Toscana. I applaud the PGA for recognizing that there was a problem. The players had no voice. The PGA was making all the money and basically using the players, as far as I'm concerned. And they had the foresight to get the players involved. Players felt more invested in the process. I think it did make a difference because there has to be a reason that we play better in the President's Cup, because many, many times the international team in the President's Cup is a stronger team than the European Ryder
wow.
Cup.
But, you know,
and
the same
we
thing.
We win that every year.
The same thing happens too, though, Bill. The USGA owns the U.S. Open. The players don't have a say. The British Open is owned by the RNA.
Yeah.
So those events, the players are not going to play because they don't own it. It's just
there's a divide there, though.
Well. Yes, but
not one major is run by the PGA Tour.
That's right. So. But the task force did work, and the PGA of America, which I'm a member for, and I congratulate Paul Levy for becoming the 40th president And they sucked it up.
Absolutely.
And they say there's a new way to do this, and we were wrong. And
yeah.
And
yeah, there's a problem here. Let's fix it.
And they fixed it. And that's I really really thought it was really neat. And everybody got their say. And now the players, you know, because the captain was really supposed to be the person that won the PGA
right.
Championship.
Right.
So they've evolved after in all of that. Curtis Strange and Tom Kite and all Ben Crenshaw, great captains, but there was a disconnect and they solved it. It's not saying that they're going to win every year.
Right.
I mean, our players were just better than their players this year, I would say, not because, you know, of the change, you know, who makes the
well, there was motivation. I think, like you guys said, they were more vested. There was that commitment, and there's no question about that.
And Ian Poulter wasn't there.
And Darren
Poulter wasn't there. That's right.
Darren Clark didn't have good captain's pick.
Yeah.
He should have picked Russell Knox.
Yep.
He had that Alexander Noren guy that was winning every other week, and the guys he picked were very weak captain pick, I thought. Very weak.
Bill has been great.
Russell Knox, I don't know.
Bill, it's been great. We'll talk
to you
guys before the first of the year.
See you next year.